All righty, we're back. 17 minutes past. Big news yesterday. We have a Suffolk County judge to drop, at least expectedly, four charges of the 16-count indictment against a man accused of driving drunk, killing a Boy Scout on the island last year. It's a huge story. Here to talk about it, we bring him back day after. His name is Ray Perini, part of a wonderful team of Perini Herger, and very nice enough to give us a couple of minutes. Raymond, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Jay, and that .18, we talked about it yesterday. I knew that .19, I knew it was going to be a problem, but not this big a problem. I don't think Judge Camacho would grant a mistrial with prejudice because that would end the case. That means that the case is over and it can't go forward. But I think the prosecutor has two problems. One, they now have to deal with the McMorrises and the Lanes, the victims' families, because they have to be scared to death that this case is going south and something. No, you know, Murphy's not going to be punished for what they did to their children. And that's an emotional thing they have to deal with. They also have to deal with what do they do going forward? Because, you know, the judge said it best. How did we get to this point? And if I'm Murphy's attorney, what I would do now, this morning, is I would renew my application for a mistrial with prejudice and ask that we have a hearing. Because I may mispronounce his name, but it's Lira, who did the retrograde analysis, had to be spoken to before he went into the grand jury by a prosecutor, had to be spoken to before he testified by a prosecutor. And how did no one ask him what the margin of error is in this test? Because there's no DWI test that doesn't have a 2-point margin of error. And I'd want to know what the DA's office knew and when they knew it. Because you can't hide information like that from the defense. Now, because the three, you know, the four counts that will be dismissed all have a .18 as a necessary element of the crime. It means that the government, the people, have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the blood alcohol was at least a .18. Now you know, out of it, based on Lira's notes and why didn't he produce them, that he believes it could be as low as a .17, which knocks out all those counts. There's no saving those counts. So if I'm Steve Politi right now, I want a hearing and find out how this happened to renew my application for a dismissal with for a mistrial with prejudice. I don't see Judge Camacho dismissing the case outright. He's a very good judge, and he's very aware of the impact this case had on those two families. But I do think that you make a record as a defense attorney. It's your duty to your client to try and get that hearing so that you can establish those facts. If not at this level, on appeal if you lose the case. How did we get here? And defense lawyer, all he wants to do is figure out how did we get here? Because if they knew about this and hid it, that could destroy the whole case. And by them, I mean the prosecutor. So I don't know how this ever occurred.
This is troubling, Ray. It's troubling. And I tell you, the stench coming out of this case when I read this. You alerted me first. Then when I got back, I read more into it. It's very troubling. I mean, if you are the McMorris family right now, you're saying to yourself, this guy could get off. You could have a mistrial here on a technicality. That's what's so troubling on this, Ray. The egregious errors by prosecution, it seems to me, not a lawyer of any kind, but it just seems to me not covering your tracks. Lara in the courtroom and everything else, the notes and everything not taking place. Very troubling. And I'll tell you one thing, you know, Politi's just doing his job, folks. He is representing a guy all fingers pointing to, okay? He's trying to find these types of technicalities, and he is succeeding no matter what you think, okay? We know what was going on here. The troubling part of it, Ray, is that Murphy refused the breathalyzer, might have been .19 at the time of the crash at 1:50 in the afternoon on the 30th day of September 2018, got that breathalyzer on around 6 o'clock, 4 hours later, warrant issued to have it done, registered .13, above the 0.08, below the 0.18, thus those charges to be dropped. Those are the technicalities in a trial of this nature. I give Politi a little bit of credit here. I do. Not a little, a lot. He has found loopholes. And let me tell you, this case to me is hanging on a thread. If that hearing is present, what are the chances right now of a mistrial?
Well, you see, I think whether or not Steve is doing a very good job. I mean, he really has found every possible flaw in the case. But this was the Perry Mason moment, because who would have suspected that information would have been hidden? And again, I go back to this. This is what you do. You do vehicular homicides. You know there's a margin of error. You're telling me no one in the DA's office spoke to our Dr. Lira, who did the retrograde, and asked him, what's the margin of error? And if they knew that that could be as low as a 0.17 and went forward, this case is in jeopardy of being dismissed. And I'm going to say that Camacho, I think Judge Camacho is an excellent judge, man. He's not going to want to dismiss this case, and he'll try not to, but in the appellate division, it could go. And I also disagree with the judge on not granting a mistrial, not with prejudice, so that the case can be retried. You do it in a way so that this case is still alive. How can 12 jurors who've heard 0.19 every day, but what is this, the third or fourth week of the trial? How can you reasonably expect them to disregard that? We're all human. This is a very sympathetic case for the families. How does a jury just say, oh, well, it didn't happen, I'll forget about that. Not to worry, Judge, I'm good. I think a mistrial should have been granted. I think a mistrial at the end of the day can still be granted. But I think that Steve Politi has to do his job, and he's a very good, tenacious lawyer, and ask for that hearing and try and create the record where the DA's office was aware of it and didn't turn it over, because that could kill the case.
That's just unbelievable. Ray Perini with us, Perini Hargrove. We're talking about the judge Fernando Camacho expected to drop four charges of the 16-count indictment against a man who was accused of driving drunk, killing a Boy Scout, that being 12-year-old Andrew McMorris. If this case is still alive, let's say this case is alive, okay? Let's say the mistrial and everything else out the window here. Let's just go on the fact of four counts being dropped here, Ray. The sentencing guidelines, just so everybody understands, that doesn't change. Is that correct? I mean, you're still looking, and that really is because you still have 12 counts against Thomas Murphy. Is that right?
No, actually, I think there's still one B felony left now. I have not seen the indictment, but there is one aggravated vehicular manslaughter, where if you kill someone and you seriously injure a second person, I don't believe the 0.18 becomes an element of that crime. So that would still be a viable count where the B felony is still on the table. But, you know, how does the jury take this at the end of the day? Because, you know, defense lawyers are making a very good argument that there's a lot of little problems in this case. And now, all of a sudden, the 1-9 is out. So now they're going to believe that the DA's office did make a mistake, did screw up. And I'm sure that that's going to be driven home if this case doesn't get mistried right now. See, I don't think there'll be a mistrial with prejudice. I just don't see Judge Camacho doing that. But I think he should do a mistrial. I think the jury's... How do you forget a 0.19 when they're beating you to death with it?
So troubling is that you think there could still be a mistrial with a hearing involved here, and that would be the end of the case, no? I mean, is there a chance to retry once mistrial is granted, or completely out the window there?
No, there is. There are mistrials that happen all the time in trials where the prosecutor doesn't deliberately angle to get the mistrial. That's just a mistrial. If the judge finds that they deliberately hid this evidence, he could have a mistrial with prejudice, which means the case is dead. I think at the end of the day, Judge Camacho, even if the DA's office knew about it, would say that remedy is too harsh. This case is too serious. I'm not going to mistry this with prejudice, but I am going to mistry it. And then the case will go to verdict, and if Murphy loses, and based on the jury's reaction when they heard the 1-9 was out of the case, it sounds like they've been following the evidence as it came in. Then the next level is, after a conviction, you go to the appellate division and argue that hiding that information is so egregious that the case should be dismissed. So he'd get a second bite of the apple. I think no matter what, if there's a conviction here, without a mistrial and a second trial, he'll go up to the appellate division and argue that this case should have been mistried, because there's no way the jury will forget the 1-9. So the case is not dead, but it could be.
Or for that matter, Ray, 0.13. You know, I mean, that still is above the legal limit, and I'll tell you one thing. That's an absolute dropping of the ball here. Hard to believe, but this could happen. If you could just explain to me, for my own edification, the difference between the aggravated vehicular homicide that will remain as the top charge versus the aggravated vehicular homicide, the one that gets dropped, the difference between the two, if you don't mind.
The difference is, if you had one deceased person and a 0.18, then you have the 0.18 makes that the aggravated vehicular homicide. If you don't have the 0.18, but you have two or more people that were killed, or one person killed and one person seriously injured, I do believe that you don't need the 0.18, and that would still be a viable count. In other words, once you plead something that there's a 0.18, you have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt, because that's an element of the crime. And four of these charges, one of them being the aggravated vehicular homicide, had that as proof they had to give, and they can't meet that burden now. So I do believe we have one B felony left.
I'll tell you one thing. I thought this thing was going to go quick. If this thing goes to the appellate, you know, you're probably looking after the first of the year. Who knows? I mean, there are so many twists and turns right now, Ray Perini, in this particular case. When you thought this was going to be a slam dunk, you know, here comes Stephen Politi and everything else. My goodness, what a turn this thing has taken. Absolutely shocking.
Well, if he doesn't grant a mistrial, with or without prejudice, this case will go to verdict. And then after the verdict, if there's a guilty verdict, it'll go to
appeal.
That's when the appeal comes in.
Unbelievable.
Again, you know, and I feel for the McMorrises and Mullane.
Oh,
because
terrible.
This has to just devastate.
And I'll tell you one thing, you know, Camacho as well. I mean, you know, this was a guy completely fed up, you know, with Politi and his antics, the plea and everything else, dragging the McMorris family through the mud again. Can you imagine the McMorris family how they're feeling this morning? That 12-year-old is never coming home, okay? Never coming home because this guy was driving drunk after a round of golf. Bottom line. But there are technicalities involved, folks, in our judicial system that you have to contend with, and it's all part of the system. Mr. Perini, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Excellent clarification, tremendous clarification on your end, and I'm sure we will talk soon.
And I just want, you said this, but you know what? Steve Politi is doing his job. That's what he must do to defend his client. And the DA's office made the mistake, and he has to take that as far as he can. So I think he's doing a great job.
Well, listen, Politi is doing his job. He is a defense attorney. This is his occupation, okay? It's his job to make sure, if anything, Thomas Murphy gets a fair trial.
It's his duty to make sure. It's more than a job. It's a duty.
100%. We can't forget that. That absolutely is the bottom line here. Ray, we'll talk soon. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All righty.